Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
We're looking at the subject of fear. The Bible says that perfect love casteth out fear. Everybody say perfect love. So that's why we're teaching on Sundays about how God loves you. You know, I believe that you better prepare yourself. I know that there is potential for some really terrible things to happen. I know the devil and his nature and how he likes to do things, how he likes to attack, what he likes to do. And you know, we know his ministry in John 10 is to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're seeing so much of that going on. And I mean, just all these statistics that are coming out about all this stuff that's going on is just unreal. And so, you know, we have to prepare ourselves because we are living in these last days in which, you know, the rapture of the church, 7 years of tribulation, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, those are awesome times. My goodness. You know, the birth and the life and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, it took place there in about a 33 and a half year period in which that was actually lived out upon the earth. But, you know, there were relatively few people on the earth as compared to today. And I guarantee you the information of what went on there did not really go out much except by those who were affected by it, which were the people that preached the gospel. They reached the whole known world with it. Yeah. Amen. Information didn't travel like it does now. But now something can happen across the street and it can go around the world and be back here by tomorrow easy. Amen. I remember, you know, whenever I talk to people like Christopher Alam when he's in Africa, or Pastor Paul Chase in the Philippines. I mean, we text, just push that button. They get that text, we push that, get that back and forth, and they're thousands of miles away. It's incredible the way we can communicate in these days. Well, because of that, the enemy knows that, and he's trying to utilize everything he can do to transmit, publish his, you know, his terror. And so with that comes fear, all the things that the Lord Jesus showed us in the scriptures that would happen. But I believe that in these last days, amidst all that atmosphere of darkness and fear, God's raising up his church full of life and full of faith and full of joy and full of peace in the midst of all of this. But there's got to be a resistance on the inside of you or you could get overwhelmed. And there's people that, well, I can't get over there. Yeah, listen, the devil knows. He knows what can overwhelm you. And many times being overwhelmed can happen in a moment, but the process of it happening can take place over a period of years. Yeah. Amen. Have you ever got yourself into trouble? I mean, the last time I really got myself into trouble, I was driving. It was when Chris and Bella got married. And I was having to drive to Houston a lot. And I got into a traffic situation that was pretty crazy and had like what was I would call a panic attack. And I'm like, where did this come from? And the Lord said, you created it. And I said, I did. How did I do that? And he said, because you tell everybody you know how much you hate to drive in Houston and how anxious you get. And how you have to drive 70 miles an hour. And he just, boy, I tell you, God just rung me out right there on the side of the road over here off of I-10. Well, I knew what to do. I got on my knees and repented. And said, well, I repent of every word I said. I was wrong. I'll not say those words again. I don't like to drive in Houston. I'm not going to lie. That's the joy of my life now is just go drive in Houston every day. I'm not stupid. Amen. But I'm not going to rehearse all that anxiety that was building in me and building in me and building in me and building me over the years, saying that, over the years, saying that. Next thing you know, boom. See, that can happen. That's how fear can get a hold of you. It can grip you and you're like, where did this come from? Well, see what God's doing with us. He's helping us go back into our lives, not to dig up some crazy, but to identify and stand against anything in our life that might be a foothold of the devil in trying to get fear into us, because fear can paralyze you spiritually. Absolutely paralyze you spiritually. And you've got to make a decision. I'm not going to let the fear of this age, what's going on in this age and this day, just because God chose for me to live in this time. I've still got Jesus in my heart. The Holy Ghost is in me, upon me. The Word of God is working. I've got the power of creation itself on my side. I do not fear what man can do to me. And no matter what happens to this earth, my God is faithful. He's going to take care of me. And if I've sowed into any type of a negative harvest, I'm going to believe God to get that up out of the soil of my soul, get it out of me, because I'm going to be ready for the days that I'm fixing to face. Yeah. And I'm telling you, God's getting us ready pretty quick if you'll just get ready. Yeah. Everybody say, get ready. Yeah. Now, listen, look here in Luke. Jesus is teaching here about the end times, about the last days. Look at verse 22. This is a great scripture. It says, "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things that are written may be fulfilled." Look at that word, "these be the days of vengeance." Do you see that? "These be the day of vengeance, that all things which are written may be..." Now, you'd have to go back into Isaiah to find the scripture. You don't have to do that. But do you remember earlier in the chapter, in Luke chapter 4, the Bible says of Jesus that he went into the synagogue, as was his tradition, and he picked up the scroll where it was written, the place where it was written. I always write in the margin of my scripture, written about him. Yeah. You ought to find in the word where it's written about you, amen? But then he began to recite, you know, that scripture in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach." But the end of that whole scripture, he says this, "and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then God made it very plain through the Holy Ghost and through Luke, who he used, Dr. Luke, to pen the book of Luke. He made it very clear. Then he closed the book. Yeah. You ever read that? Yeah. Which means he did not initiate or release the power of the rest of that verse, which the rest of that verse is, "and the day of the vengeance of our God." Yeah. Amen. So he's talking about not the day that we live in, but another day. We are living in right now the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, you ought to rejoice and thank God you are. We are living in the day of God's grace, the day of God's mercy, the day of God's compassion, and the day of God's provision upon the earth for anybody who's willing to explore and mine the depth of its riches. That fascinates me about the previous generation, men like Brother Roberts, men like Brother Hagin, that I knew, that I watched their lives and saw, especially Brother Hagin. I guess he impressed me more than anybody because I knew him when I was a little bitty boy, when he was nobody and nothing. And he was the same man when he was nobody and nothing as he was when he was somebody. That's what really impressed me. But he was just the evangelist that came to the church a couple of times a year, and we always had services twice a day for 2 weeks. Brother Hagin's coming. We knew for 2 weeks. If it was in the summertime, you can ask Alan. Or the wintertime, for 2 weeks, we wasn't going to be doing nothing but going to church with Mom and Dad. That's all we were going to do. Sunday, Monday, if it was in the summertime, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, two services a day. If it was during school, then it would be, you know, when we got off of from school, we got ready, Mom cleaned us up, and we went to church. Twice a year, he would come. And then in 1968, I can remember it. I even talked to him about it later on when I was in ministry. We walked into the church and the church was packed. Usually it was just our church family that came to hear Brother Hagin, but our church was packed. We had pews, that three rows that went back like this of pews. One, two, three. Church sat about 400 people. One, two, three. And then there were chairs next to all the pews on both sides. The choir loft was full. Choir loft said about 75 people. That was full. There were people standing in the back. It was like that every night. And in every window, they had those big, high, old Assembly of God cathedral windows. They had cassette recorders going like this, just recording everything he said. His message didn't change. His methods didn't change. He spoke the same way. He acted the same way. He walked the same way. He talked the same way. He ministered the same thing. Then I didn't see him for 14 years. And I went up to Rhema in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and saw that huge Bible school. The year I went up there in 84, they had 1,200 students. And his ministry had exploded all over the world. And people knew him all over the world. and he walked the same way, and he talked the same way, and he preached the same thing. And I knew him before he died. Lee and I were able to fellowship with him, be with him. We were able to renew our acquaintance with him. And he walked the same way and talked the same way and preached the same way and was the same man. But God blessed him because he chose to probe the depths of the riches that's in this word. And he inspired an entire generation to follow in those footsteps and to live by faith. Not that it would be a spiritual product kept on your spiritual shelf, but it would actually be your lifestyle. The just shall live by faith. Amen? So the only opportunity provided for us to live in an atmosphere conducive to that is the acceptable year of the Lord. But now he's talking about a time in which there's going to be a change in the realm of the Spirit, and all of a sudden the second part of what Isaiah saw was going to come into existence, and that's the day of the vengeance of our God. And there's going to be all kinds of signs, all kinds of signals, all kinds of communication, all kinds of things going on that are going to be indications that that time is fixing to happen. Now listen what Jesus reveals about that. It says, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck, and those for those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon the people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now that's an unusual scripture. Because this scripture has been fulfilled. We're not waiting on this to happen. This has already happened. You say, what do you mean? This is what has taken place in history since Jesus taught this. Everything that he said about the Jewish people happened. Remember when he talked about the temple and there not being one stone left upon another? He was prophesying about 70 AD, in which the Roman government came in and literally took Jerusalem to the ground and scattered the Jewish people to the four winds of the earth. And Jewish communities began to grow all over the world, and God blessed them. You say, why? Because he told Abraham, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And God put a blessing upon the nation of Israel. And all of this that was talked about by Jesus, and all of them being taken away captive, and all of Jerusalem being treaden down by the Gentiles, it's all over. It stopped in 1948. And no matter what you may think or what you may say about the nation of Israel, it was formed in one day, just like it said in the Word of God that it would be. And God gathered the Jewish people of the world into that nation for the purpose of the last days and the end times. And he said, the people, he'll say it in just a minute, that witness this will not pass, you will not pass away till all of these things are fulfilled. And everything that is needed to be fulfilled to bring this to fruition is happening in front of our eyes. And the posturing for the economic takeover of the Antichrist system is right dawning on us like a sunrise on a clear day. It's happening right in front of our eyes. Jesus was talking about it 2,000 years ago. Amen. How's my time? Oh, good. I'm doing good. Go to verse 25. Let me make sure that's the one. Yeah, go to verse 25. It says, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. They say this weekend we're going to have the largest solar eclipse that has ever been registered or they've ever predicted that would come off the sun and affect the earth. Yeah, this weekend. Yeah, they're not telling you much about it, are they? Shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. How many blood moons have we had in the past few years? Come on, church. And in the stars. You know, what was it? The year 2000. First time in 2,000 years. The alignment of the stars took place and created the Bethlehem star for the first time in 2,000 years. Oh my goodness. Upon the earth, the distress of nations. Wow. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roar. Now notice that. The sea and the waves roar. You would think, well, what's he talking about the ocean? You know, the sea always in the Word of God refers to people. Yeah. And is wanting to tell us that as far as the population of the earth is going, it's going to be like there's a storm on the sea of people. Amen. Come on, church. If you can't see this happening, just open your eyes a little bit. Now notice this. It says in verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, let me help you. Can I help you? This isn't some far event that will take place in history in a few hundred years, church. This is dawning upon us right now. And he's telling us this. The time will come when men will look out at the things that are coming and men's hearts will fail them for fear of those things that are coming upon the earth. I saw something today. It blew me away. It was a report by the U.S. Navy. Did anybody see that? The U.S. Navy put out a report. You can look it up. It was all the national news thing. The U.S. Navy put out a deal on heart disease in the Navy in the past 3 years. It's increased by 978%. Heart disease in the U.S. Navy. Well, you can say, well, it's because of this. I'm going to tell you why it is. It's because we're in the last days, and what is going on in the last days is going to cause men's hearts to fail them. For whatever reason they fail them, they're going to fail them for the things, for the fear. You can say it's this. You can say it's that. No, it's the fear of that which is coming. Amen. That's why people try so hard to live in denial of what's coming. But listen, our message is not one of doom and gloom. The world, boy, you want to talk to the world, it is doom, it is gloom, it is woe, it is me, it is misery and pain. And it's going to be heaped upon itself over and over and over as the 6,000-year, the 6,000-year mastation of sin in the human experience comes to its peak, and man goes absolutely crazy. Oh, I think man's pretty civil. Really? Really, do you? There are things going on today, I mean, that just blow me away when I hear them. I think, really? Okay. When we were in Ireland, they were proposing to kill, actually, they were going to shut down a third of the dairies in Ireland, which the dairies of Ireland, North and South Ireland, actually provide a lot of the dairy produce for all of Europe. So they thought they'd kill 200,000 dairy cows to stop starvation. So it was just proposed. Sarah was with us when we were there. It was just proposed. Now they've implemented it. Yeah, they've signed it into law. Yeah, we've got to get rid of a third of the dairies now. Why? See, that it doesn't. You say, it doesn't make any what? So, there has been an inversion. See, there's been an inversion. And just like Isaiah said, it would be dark, would be light. That means people would look at darkness and say, that's light. I've been enlightened. Have you heard some of the stuff people have been, quote, enlightened by? Oh, my goodness. Amen. They would taste, it says they would taste sweet and call it sour and taste sour and call it. See, that's an inversion. That's what's taking place. And in that inversion, if you get caught in it, what's going to grip you is fear. Because see, if you enter into fear, fear will control you. And that is literally the occultic standard of how governments are run, through intimidation, manipulation, and fear, in order to control you with that, because all of the law of the world and the world system is set up on what? It is set up on a obey or punishment level. Are you with me? Now see, we're looking at some things here. You say, what do you mean? Men's hearts will fail them for fear of what? Not what's going on right now, but that which is coming. Amen. Now notice, go real quick. Good, I got a few minutes. I can do this. Go all the way back to Genesis. This is where we ended up last week, but I wanted to set a little foundation this week. Genesis chapter 3, we know the fall of man. We don't want to dig into that too hard, but I do want you to see something. Verse 9, chapter 3. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, "Where art thou?" Three saddest words in the Bible. He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." Now, we ain't got, I don't know, two chapters into the Bible, and this word pops up. I was afraid. But now notice, he expands on it, "because I was naked and I hid myself." Now notice that. Now the word naked in Hebrew literally is the word uncovered. Now God, this wonderful being, our Heavenly Father, who obviously has the ability to assimilate his thought, speak it out of his mouth, and it create material reality. So how do you figure that? Well, you wouldn't be here if you didn't. I said, you wouldn't be here if you didn't. And so he takes and he makes us in his likeness, in his image, but he does something very unique. He implements a species change. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, we are made in the likeness and image of God, but we are not deity, we are humanity. Are you with me? Which means we carry the seed of God, but we are a different species. We are also those that are caught up in the law of Genesis, our procreation. Every seed reproduces after its own kind. There's another species of spiritual beings that are not in that realm. That's the angelic and demonic. They're not creators. Satan is not a creator. Remember what I told you that testimony about getting panicked on the highway in Houston? God said, "You created that." How did I create that? With my words. Why did I create them with my words? Because I'm a creator. Amen. So God gave them words in the garden after creation. Back up in chapter 2, he said, "Now listen, I put some trees in the garden. I put a tree of life. Now you can just munch on that all you want to. But now there's a tree over there called the knowledge of good and evil. And if you try to figure that out, the more you try to figure that out, the more it's going to be a harm to you. Because it's not a tree that you won't have, it's a tree that you can't have." So with that one command, God establishes free will, which is the value of human existence. That's why the devil tries to manipulate it so much. Amen. And God never created humans to be fearful or to have fear or to be afraid. Actually, he made provision even against the serpent. He said, "Listen, I've given you dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and all the what? The creeping things." What do you think he was saying? He's saying, "The snake is coming, the snake is coming." Yeah. He was preparing them for that. But see, the enemy uses something that's very unique, which always opens the door to fear, and that is deceit. Deception, which deception lies upon the foundation of lies. Because what is a lie? A lie is something not meant to alter the truth, but to take its place. Amen. This is a good illustration. A lot of we believe God for healing in our bodies. So there's your body's telling you something. It's telling you that your symptoms are in your body. Now listen, this is if you think like this, then you're renewing your mind. I'm not sick. I'm being tempted to be sick. This congestion, this fever, whatever it is, this is a temptation because it's not mine, it does not belong to me. So there is a reality that is happening. So what a lot of people want to do is label it real quick as the what? The truth. Well, I tell you one truth, you're sick as a dog. No, all that is a fact. Because a truth is something established. Actually, a truth is something that cannot be changed. Now think about that for just a moment if you think about the word. So this fact is this: you're here on the earth, you're part of a fallen species, but you have made the decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. So you've entered into redemption and literally have received a complete third of redemption. Do you know that? Your spirit on the inside. Your spirit man on the inside. Listen, that's why I tell people all, the only spiritual problem you have is growth and development. If you don't grow and develop spiritually, then everything in your life is going to be a problem. But if you can grow and develop spiritually, then every problem of your life you'll overcome. Come on, church. That's the truth. But now let's go back to your body. You got fever, you're coughing, you're hacking, all this kind of stuff. So these symptoms are manifesting. So what the enemy wants you to do is to create a possession. I am. I have. See, how does it manifest? In our language, our mentality, how we think and what we say. Amen. So what do you do? Well, I have the flu. I have a cold. You begin to take possession by your words, and that thing begins to establish its right to become your reality. But it's still just a fact. But it's your reality because why? Because I'm the one coughing and hacking and with 118 degree fever and, you know, projectile vomiting and everything else, you know. I'm the one that's sick. No. It's still just the fact. Because the truth is, if you're born again, that sickness or disease is not a reality. It is a temptation. Well, it's all in how you see it. Exactly. Yes. Duh. Because as long as you see it your way, it does the same thing every time. And you end up at the emergency clinic and do the CPAC and the, you know, and the drip and the this and that and the breathing thing and the pills and claim your healing. You missed that one, didn't you? Amen. So, truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. You continue my word. Then my disciples said, you shall know that word is experience. You shall experience the truth. And the truth you experience shall do what? Set you free. Amen. So back to the garden real quick. I got a couple of minutes. The command was given. Everybody say command. In creation, we became part of the wealth of heaven, offspring of God. Everybody say offspring of God. We were destined to live within the realms of what He created in the peace that He created it in. Then sin got in. We're not going to, you know, we'll talk about that when we talk about redemption a little more. But one of the first, or the first, well, kind of hard to say that. But when they interacted together, God and man, again for the first time after sin, man was afraid of God. Now, why was he afraid of God? Now, this is the bedrock or the foundation of all fear. Because God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Which was judgment already pronounced. That means there's not going to be no judge, jury, or executioner. All you got to do is break this and it's a done deal. That's why his sin was high treason. There's nobody else created upon the earth that could have done that but Adam. If the earth would have been populated with 1 million people, there's still only one person that could create, that could have committed that sin, and that would have been the woman and Adam. They were the prototype. They were the fountainhead. They were the master copy. That's why the devil went after them with everything that he had. That's why he usurped spiritual authority, went around the man and went to the woman. That's why he engaged the woman in a spiritual conversation. And in a spiritual conversation, when he saw that she was not solid on what God had said, he lied. You shall not surely die. And that automatically took her out of the realm of the spirit and put her in the realm of the flesh, because the word says when she saw the fruit, and that it was pleasant. Now she's in the realm of the what? Now she's in the realm of the senses. And when you're in the realm of the senses, that's where the adversary can control you, manipulate you, intimidate you, mess with you, mess with your mind, mess with your emotions, give you all kinds of feelings, and make you goofy as you can be. That's why you've got to hold him in the realm of the spirit. It ain't a game, church. It's literally your health upon the earth right now. In these last days. If not, the enemy is going to find a crack in you somewhere and try to get some fear in you. Amen? Now, man. Fear of punishment. God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. This automatically creates the fear of death. Even though they did not know what to die meant, even though it took them 900 years to figure it out, which is a real fantasy in the minds of some theologians, thinking that God wanted to replenish the earth with fallen humanity, when what fallen humanity did was end up in a terrible relationship with the spirit realm and spawned all kinds of goofiness. That's what some of those other chapters are about in the book of Genesis. But God did not want man to procreate in a fallen position. He ended up destroying the world just six generations later. Boom, here came the flood. Left eight on the earth. Come on, church. So we've got to understand something, church. These laws that God has spoken, we go through all kinds of realities and factual things upon this earth, but these things that God has spoken, they are the truths of the universe. These are unchangeable. These are unchangeable realities. They are not subject to change. So when Jesus says in John chapter 3, you must be born again, we better be the ones that tell people that, because we've learned the reality of that truth. Amen. But now, here's the human family stuck now, afraid, and their first fear manifests when it comes to what's in between them and their Creator. There's been a separation. That's why when it comes to the human experience, you can never let the word death impress upon your psychic the cessation of life. You can talk about it when your plant dies. Amen. I don't even believe that. I believe that there's even some dimension of spirit in the animal realm, because there's animals that can have personality. Amen. So I don't know. I believe God loves animals. He's the one that creates them, so I don't try to go there. But in humanity, it's different. We are the offspring of God. We are spirit beings clothed with flesh, with a buffer in between the flesh and the spirit, which is the soul. How you think, how you feel, and the choices that you make. That's why David said, he restoreth my soul. Now, all of a sudden, their soul, they're literally, think about this. This is unreal. They are born again in reverse. They have a reverse born again experience. You talk about afraid. You talk about fear. You talk about darkness. What does it say? They saw they were uncovered. They saw they were disconnected. They saw they had been separated. They saw the chasm that Job saw. Where's the umpire that could put his hand upon me and put his hand on a righteous God? They saw the chasm that the rich man saw in Lazarus' bosom, that Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man cried out for a drop of water. Oh, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe God would torment anybody. He wouldn't. A drop of water. And Abraham spoke up and said, no, there's a chasm between us. There's a separation. There's death. But thank God, when Jesus died on the cross, he took our physical death. He took the death of our soul. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took the death of our soul. And honey, he bypassed paradise and he went right into hell. And he suffered 3 days and three nights. And he destroyed the power of Satan and every demon force to hold you down, to suppress or oppress you. And then he rose from the dead with a brand new brand of life called eternal life that could literally be given to the human family. And the human family could receive by faith, and for the first time since Adam's fall, a man or a woman on the earth could live without fear of punishment. Amen. Amen. You say, well, how does that affect us today? Because the enemy is always trying to put fear upon us and to make us think, because of the circumstances of our life, we might be enduring some type of punishment, which is untrue at all. You may have some negative harvest in your life that have come up. You may have self-inflicted yourself a time or two, which of us haven't. Amen. But you've got to realize God is for you and not against you. I was up here studying and writing today. I was up here for a few hours. So I came walking by and I stopped there by those two doors. And I kind of stepped inside because I've had this real thankful mood in the last few weeks. And I begin to thank God for all of the services that have taken place in this building. I begin to think about all the songs we've sung. All of the wonderful moves of the Spirit we've enjoyed. All of the money that has flowed. All of the supernatural prophecies, tongues and interpretation of tongues, healings that have happened. Mighty acts and mighty things that God has done. People getting right with God. People finding Jesus for the first time. People being inspired to take it and take it to the world. Go to the world with the gospel. We have churches in Ireland now. Praise God, we're believing God in 24 for another church. Praise God. Man, I tell you, Ireland's a powder keg right now. Needs a move of God. Needs a move of the Holy Ghost. Thank God we're positioned there to do it. We believe God for other nations too in which we work in that we're a part of. All that we're doing, all that we've been a part of. I mean, you know, the enemy would try to make you think, well, you know, there's people doing more. Well, there are. Well, there's people doing less. Well, there are. But what we're doing out of obedience to God, out of what we have spent hours and months and years of prayer and intercession and doing everything we can do to focus and hear the voice of God and for Him to inspire and inform us and for us to step out and do what He's called us to do. You know, Lee and I have had a life of protection. We could get up here and tell you how God has protected us from some of the most incredible disasters that we could have been a part of. And how He literally took us out of it and saved and preserved. Ireland, what we built in Ireland, we lost. And I say we. The ministers I was involved in, some of them were very well known. We saw God do something wonderful, and we ruined it. You say, why would you take any responsibility? Because I was there too. And I taught probably more than any of them. But I didn't teach them that. I said, I didn't teach them that. He said, what? What caused them to be destroyed? He said, well, how do you know you didn't teach them that? Because I wasn't there when it happened, and God saved me from every bit of it. And then sent me back there 14 years later. And now He's raising up churches. Amen. Amen. We can tell you several stories how God has protected us and kept us from things that could have destroyed and things that have destroyed many other ministries. You say, why? Because more than anything else, Leah and I have desired to follow Him. Not a trend, not some ministry, not something that was going on. No, to follow Him. You don't realize what God rescued she and I out of. Rescued us out of hell. Amen? And we both had to fight our fights against fear. But when you go back and you begin to realize, think about this. Even in your thoughts, many times when you have something negative happen to you, your first thought will be a fearful thought of what have I done? Why has this happened to me? Why is this going on? We immediately begin to do that, and if you allow that to begin to ferment in your mind, you begin to digest those thoughts, which you should reject. What will happen? You'll do the same thing that the man did. You will blame. You'll start blaming. Always remember, just like when your fever is at 105, you know you're really sick. When you start blaming, that's that 105 degree fever. Your soul is really sick. You say, why? Listen, God took the blame away through Christ. Jesus paid the penalty. He took the punishment. There's nothing happening in your life as the punishment of God. God would not punish you. He does not have it. He would have to punish His Son, Jesus, in order to punish you. And He's already punished Him all He's going to because He punished Him with your punishment. Come on. See, that's one of those things people don't dwell on a lot. But if you'll dwell on that and recognize, oh, I really got away with something. You didn't get away with nothing. All you got was a canceled paycheck. The wage of sin is always death. But the good news is what? You were rescued by a glorious, loving God. You made the decision. You made the choice. You accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Listen, that's why you should do what? Pursue Him with everything you have. Whatever it means to pursue Him, you go after Him with everything you have. And I guarantee you will not be disappointed. You'll fight battles, yeah. You'll have failures, yes, sir. Setbacks, mm-hmm. But you'll have breakthroughs and you'll have victory. And you won't live from crisis to crisis. You'll live from faith to faith, and you'll live from glory to glory. And I tell you, when all these suddenlies of terror begin to happen, you will not be subject to them, and it will cause you to make the right decisions instead of wrong decisions. Yeah. Because if you're in fear now and fear comes, you're liable to make the wrong decision. But if you're not in fear and you're in peace, amen. Now, let me say this. Fear has to be spoken to. Your fear needs to hear your voice. And your fear needs to hear God's word in your voice. Your voice needs to address fear the enemy is trying to put on you. Amen. Your voice needs to take authority. Now, I've prayed for, oh, Lord, have mercy, thousands of people over the years, many times in healing lines, many times when you deal with people who have cancer, who have had to sit across from a doctor's desk and a doctor give them, a diagnosis like that. That's a very, very ominous thing to have to listen to and have to hear. Sometimes it causes fear. Many times I've had to address that fear, speak to that fear. Then we pray and lay hands, believe God for healing with them. Amen? But here's the thing. Thank God for Paul. He wrote to his spiritual son Timothy, and in 1 Timothy he said this. He said, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. The Bible says that we that are redeemed have what? The mind of Christ. We do share His compassion, we do share His emotion, and we do share the thoughts and the content of His heart. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love. You've got to talk to your mind. You've got to tell your mind, you're not a playground for the devil. You're not an entertainment center for fear. Amen. And you've got to tell yourself, I'm not going to be overwhelmed by fear. And just tell the Lord, thank you, Father. You've taken your spirit. You've put it in me through the new birth and on me. Through the baptismal measure, and one of His ministries is a helper. Help me. I do it all the time. I mean, I tell the Holy Ghost, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Amen. You say why? Because I'm dealing with things bigger than me. Bigger than we're living in a world bigger than we are, where the things that are transpiring upon the earth are bigger than things that have ever happened upon the earth before. And they're just beginning to snowball, just beginning to move. As we enter into 24, can't you sense it? Can't you sense it? I mean, if you pray, you can sense it. You can sense. I'm not talking about, some evil, dark. I'm talking about just entering in. You can just sense that we're just moving into it. It's like a slow rising tide. Here we go. Kind of like going. I remember we were in San Antonio. Breland was little, and she wouldn't ride the roller coaster. Neither would Leah, so I wanted to. And there wasn't a lot of people there. So I went and got in the roller coaster line. Nobody was there, and I could see this little family, and they were talking to the little boy. He was just tall enough. So I could see him looking back at his parents. And he and I were the only two in the line. So they put us right in the front of that roller coaster, and we're going up. And as we're going up, he looked at me, and he said, Mister, you think they'll let me off? And I said, yeah, in about 90 seconds, they're going to let you off. But those 90 seconds, he didn't know me from anybody. He like to broke my hand. He squeezed my hand so hard. That thing got to the top and down we went. And his first scream was a scream of terror. Ah! But finally, he could tell we were having fun. You say, how could you know you were having fun? Because we were secure where we were. And no matter how fast we went or how sharp the turn was, we were okay. By the time we got to the bottom, we were laughing. 90 seconds later, we were able to get off. You say, we're going to be able to get off this? Yeah, Jesus is going to call for us. But we may have gone over that hump when he does, amen. But he's faithful. I said, he's faithful. Praise God. Stand on your feet. Say this out loud as you stand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you. You've not given me a spirit of fear. I am not fearful, and nothing in my life is your punishment. And because of that, I stand upon my reward of salvation, that I am the blessed of the Lord, the redeemed of God, the healed of God, the informed of God, the empowered of God, the inspired of God, a child of God. Thank you, Father. You're my very own Father. Thank you, Jesus. You're my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Spirit. You abide and empower. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for an eternal awareness. In me, I shall not fear. I shall not fear. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Thank you for your protection and safety upon our lives. We do declare no evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh our dwelling. Angels have charge over us. Lord, as we leave tonight, we thank you in the righteous labor of our hands, in our travel, in all that we do. We thank you that all the plans of the enemy are thwarted. No accidents, no terror, no trauma. And yes, Lord, we lift up those in whom the enemy is trying to attack their physical body. We stand against symptoms attacking people now. We lift up George Sims. We lift up some of these others that have been mentioned. And we declare in the name of Jesus, they are the healed of God. Devil, get your hands off of God's property. Amen. We thank you, Heavenly Father, your healing power resonates throughout our church. And we thank you that this joyous season of life, Christmas season, we thank you that we're able to celebrate. We're able to celebrate with you, Lord, as individuals, your children. We're able to celebrate as families. We're able to celebrate as your church. And we're able to celebrate as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Father. You said when we fellowship in Christ that the blood of Jesus is activated and we're cleansed from all sin and all unrighteousness. Thank you for cleansing. Thank you for purity. Thank you that as we leave tonight, evangelism burns in us for open doors of utterance, both on the personal level and any other level in which a door may open. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you that we'll be an answer to the prayers of men and women even now, a problem to the adversary and his plans, that we'll be a miracle in the lives of men and women upon the earth. Lord, as we leave tonight, we walk in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. We walk in love toward one another. Thank you for our church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church, we're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.